Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we are going to talk today about the death of Tony Palmer, who was trying to bring this false unity movement with evangelicals and Catholics. But of course, we don't want to go near a wolf because wolves bite, and I'm sure the Catholic Church hasn't changed their colors, so we're going to get into that. Did Jesus really want us to unify with false religious systems? I don't think so. So anyway, I wanted to make a few announcements. We do have a website, propheticnews.com. We also have a YouTube channel. And if you put my name in, Susan Puzio, on YouTube, some of the videos will come up. I wanted to say hi to everybody in the chat room. Hi, everybody. Hi, Brother Vincent also has a radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, Truth Sharks. So if you want to check that out, okay? And also, we have a program coming up on the 16th of August, and we will be announcing the new book, the second of the trilogy, the Paula White trilogy, and this book is entitled First Fruits Fleecer. Now, does God really want you to sacrifice your 10% and your first fruits? Is God Almighty sitting on his throne with an angry look on his face? And if you don't bring him money, he gets angry at you and he curses you and he makes you live in poverty. I don't know where they get this kind of a God from. This is a fairy tale and it just doesn't exist. So on August 16th, we will be introducing the second book in the trilogy, First Fruits Fleecer, Paula Michelle White. And it was also announced on our program a few weeks ago by Brother Moses from I Am Publishing. And you can go to the I Am Publishing website, Prosperity Truth Exposed, and you can order the Paula White books and also find out some more information about them, because it is a new publishing company, but I believe that it's right on time for the days that we live in, all the apostasy, all the heresy, the false prophets and the false teachers. We're just being inundated with it, and we need more voices out there. We pray that God raises up more people, and I'm very grateful for the people that he has raised up to join with us to cry aloud and spare not, because there's just so much going on out there. And last night I woke up kind of in the middle of the night, I guess about 4 o'clock, and I turned on the television and there was a man on there. I didn't get his name, but I couldn't believe that I was actually hearing the words that were coming out of his mouth, because he was saying that he has a friend that his mother always tithed, and even if they had to go without food, His mother kept the money in the house, the 10%, and she would not spend that money, only to give God her 10%. And that actually one day they had no food in the house, and the little boy says to his mother, "Mom, I'm hungry. Can we please spend that tithe money and get some groceries?" And the mother said, "No, we can't touch that money because that's God's money." And she said, "Well, let's go around the neighborhood to the different shopkeepers and see if someone will give us some credit so we can get some food." Now, excuse me, but what God that sacrificed his son on the cross for us to be redeemed from every curse, including poverty, would actually let a little boy go hungry and let a mother go begging to the shopkeepers to get some food so that God could have her 10%? I don't get it. Now, this man was dressed up in a suit. He looked mighty fine. I'm sure he had some good schooling or claimed to have some good schooling in the Bible. But to me, it was just ridiculous. I couldn't believe the whole thing. So anyway, I see that I lost my server here. I'm going to refresh this page. Hopefully I don't get disconnected, but if I do, I'll have to call back in to my switchboard, and I want you to let me know if you can hear me, because this has never happened before, but there's always a first time. So let me go back into the chat room, and could somebody let me know if you can hear me, and I'll know that I'm on the air. So anyway, please, God doesn't need your money. The preacher needs your money, but we're going to be doing a program hopefully on August 23rd. I'm going to bring back Brother David Lee, who was on last week, and he's the author of the book Sunday Morning Stick Up. That was a great interview. So we're going to be talking about the tithe. Was the tithe ever money? No, it was never money. So anyway, I encourage you to please do a word study. Get out your Bible. Get out your dictionary. Get out your concordance. And look up the words and find out for yourself. What I found out for myself many years ago, that I never found one scripture in the Bible that said tithing was money. So it was food. So if your pastor, if you're going to a church and your pastor asks you for a tithe, buy him a bag of groceries. That's what it's all about. So it's not about these men enriching themselves and claiming that you're giving the money to God, because give me a break. Does God need any money? No. So anyway, it was pathetic. And it's pathetic when you turn on the TV and all you see is one used car salesman after another hawking the seed faith, give me your money gospel and God will bless you. So what has happened to the church? And then the devil raises up this man, Tony Palmer, to try to unite the separated brethren, as we're called by the Catholic Church, back to Rome. So I don't think so. I don't think we ever were affiliated with Rome, not real Christians. My Bible says that I don't even really like to use the word Protestant because I'm a Christian. We were first called Christians in Antioch, and I don't remember being called a Protestant. So that came later, of course, during the Reformation and during Luther's time that they protested. But Jesus always had a church. after he died and rose again and ascended into heaven, he always had a church. So we weren't protesting anything at the time that I remember. We were Christians, and we were proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's who we are. And Tony Palmer suggested that Luther's protest was over and that we should reunite with the harlot, Mother Harlot Church, so-called, and all be one again. Well, we were never one with them. The Catholic Church is not a Christian church. And you might say to me, well, how could you say that? I was raised a Catholic. I went to Catholic school for the first 7 years of my education, from the time second grade to eighth grade. I was thoroughly indoctrinated into the whole catechism. Forget about it. We never read a Bible. Never, ever, one time in my 7 years at school did we ever pick up a Bible and read it. Never. We had every morning when we went to school, the first class that we had was a catechism class. That's what we read. That's what we were taught. That's what we were indoctrinated with. No, we were told, now this is back in the 50s, so I'm going way back. We were told that we could not read the Bible because we could not understand it. And so I never looked at the Bible. We had one in the house. It was a coincidence, really, that my aunt gave my father a King James Bible when he was in World War II, and we had one, which I read later, and after I got saved. But we did have one, but we never cracked it open. Nobody knew what it said. And as a matter of fact, when we went to Catholic Church at the time, the service wasn't even in English, so I didn't even know what they were talking about. Now, imagine going to church and you don't even know what they're saying. Oh, like we didn't have our thinking caps on at all. So it was quite weird, let me say. The whole thing, when I think back on it now, and I look back at now, I stopped being a Catholic when I was about 12 because I was fed up with the whole thing. I wanted to get out of there. And because most of the priests and the nuns, now there were some nice ones, but most of them were a bunch of liars and hypocrites. So I didn't want anything to do with it. So I got out of that mess when I was about 12, and I was 31 years old when I met Jesus Christ and I was born again. So he gave me a brand new life. And I can look back on all that now, and I can speak with a little bit of authority because I've been there. And I never once heard, not one time ever, ever, in the Catholic Church did I ever hear the plan of salvation. What it really was, I never heard about being born again, never heard about it, never ever thought that I could go to heaven because I wasn't good enough. I knew I wasn't good enough. I was just a youngster, but I knew I was a sinner. And I knew I had to go to confession, which the Catholics, you have to go to this little box, and you go to this box, and you go inside the box, and there's a screen, a wall with a screen, and on the other side of the wall is a priest, and you have to tell him your sins. You have to tell him your sins, and then you tell him your sins, and then he forgives you of your sins, not God. No, you don't tell God your sins. You tell the priest your sins. That's a nice way to get you to come there. So you go into the box and you tell the priest your sins, and he forgives you of your sins, and then he gives you a penance, and that's supposed to be a sacrament in the church. And so I know some of you are saying to yourself, what is she talking about? Well, this is Catholicism, in case some of you haven't been there. That's what it is. It's a false religious system. So, yes, then the priest gives you a penance, and usually it's you have to say five Our Fathers and five Hail Marys, and then that will your sins will be forgiven, and you won't have those sins anymore. But just in case, there's a little insurance policy that the Catholic Church has, and just in case your sins aren't forgiven 100%, when you die, you can go to purgatory. And purgatory is a place where you go and you have to stay there until you make up enough time and you're good enough to go to heaven. So in the meantime now, you can, if you die or a Catholic dies, you can call the church and you can pay the church $10, $20, and they will say masses for you until your soul comes out of purgatory and you go to heaven. So what a deal, right? Now, they still do this. I know they still do this. In fact, a friend of my mother's told her the other day that her son passed away recently, and they were going in January. They bought some masses, and they were going in January to go to attend the masses to hopefully get him out of purgatory or wherever he went. But so how do we unite with a system like this? Does that sound anything to you like Christianity? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. So I don't know how. I don't know what Kenneth Copeland now, just a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, this man, Tony Palmer, who passed away on July 20th. Now, this is a strange death. Very, very strange that he was hit in a head-on collision at about 7 a.m. in the morning in England. He was hit head-on by a car, supposedly a drunk driver, 7 o'clock in the morning. And he went to the hospital. They tried to save his life by performing 10 hours of surgery, and he died. So his funeral, by the way, is going to be held. Now, also very interesting, his funeral is going to be held in a Catholic church, and he claims that he wasn't a Catholic. Well, you can't have a funeral in a Catholic church unless you are a Catholic. So very odd. I think that Tony Palmer was a plant. That's what I think. I think he was a plant, and I think he was a Catholic. I think the Catholic Church was using him to bring about this great deception, the wolf trying to gather some poor little innocent sheep together under the guise of, come on in and let's all love one another and hug one another, as Francis, he calls himself Francis, but he's really, I think, Jorge. His first name is Jorge. He calls himself Pope Francis now, but he says, let's all hug and make up and everything will be all right. Well, no, I do not think so. Anyway, the funeral is going to be held in Bath, and it's Bath, England, which is an ancient Roman town, very old English town, and it's going to be on August 6th at 4 p.m. British time, and I'm Eastern time, so that's about 5 hours behind, about 11 a.m. my time. It'll be very curious to see who attends this funeral, and will the Copelands show up? Now, this man, Tony Palmer, he has a long history with Kenneth Copeland. He was with Kenneth Copeland's ministry for many, many years. In fact, I think about 20 years ago, he was heading Kenneth Copeland's office in South Africa. Now imagine that Kenneth Copeland has this guy heading up his ministry headquarters in South Africa. What was he thinking? Who is Kenneth Copeland anyway? What was Kenneth Copeland doing at the Vatican? Did he bow down to the Pope? Did he kiss his ring? What happened over there? What do we have in common with these people? Nothing. So Kenneth Copeland, James and Betty Robison of all people, John Arnott of the famous Toronto Unblessing Movement, they all head over to the Vatican and they have lunch with the Pope, and you can see the pictures of James Robison high-fiving. Give me a break. Jorge. And, of course, you notice that in the photograph, he wears white and everybody else has to wear black. So, anyway, they all got together and they're going to have unity and diversity. Well, excuse me. We don't have unity with false religious systems. We don't have unity with people, especially the Catholic Church, who is famous for the Inquisition. Now, two great books that you might want to get, if you're not familiar with the Inquisition, this is a big red flag of why we shouldn't want to get together with the Catholic Church. But two great books are Fox's Book of Martyrs by John Fox, and The History of the Reformation of the 16th Century. This is a 900-page book. I have it. And the print is small, so it's really like a couple thousand pages. And I've read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Now, this is an actual account of people that lived during the Inquisition, actual Bible-believing Christians that were burned at the stake. Their tongues were ripped out of their mouth if they would not join the Catholic Church and repent of their heresy of actually being real born-again Christians. So why does anyone in their right mind want us to go back to that system and join up with those people? No, I don't think so. Anyway, those two books, please read them. Fox's Book of Martyrs and The History of the Reformation of the 16th Century. And it's a French name, so maybe I can't pronounce it, but it's Aubigne, A-U-B-I-G-N-E. And his book, like I said, 900 pages of testimonies of the atrocities that were committed by the so-called Roman Catholic Church. You can also study the Inquisition on the Internet. It went on for many, many hundreds of years, and two famous people that they didn't like at all, John Wycliffe, now, why did they hate John Wycliffe? What did John Wycliffe ever do? His crime against the Roman Catholic institution was translating the Bible into the language that people could read, because they didn't want you to have Bibles. Oh, no, they did not want people to have Bibles, because then they might find out that they were a false religious system. So anyway, John Wycliffe died. They didn't murder him, but he died. But after he died, now this is how much they hated Wycliffe. Now, who does this? Like, do you know any Christians that do anything like this? After he died, he was declared a heretic. His body was exhumed. They exhumed his body, the Catholic Church did. It was an order from Pope Martin in 1428. His corpse was exhumed and burned, and the ashes were cast into the river. Oh, yeah, I know a lot of Christians that do that to people that translate Bibles. I don't think so. And then the other person that they hated with a passion was William Tyndale. Now, what was William Tyndale's crime? Why was he declared a heretic? Oh, he was another one that wanted to translate the Bible into a language that people could read Bibles and print Bibles so people could have their own Bible. That was his crime against the Roman Catholic institution. So what happened to Tyndale? He was executed in 1536. He was strangled to death, and then he was burned. So I don't think we have anything in common with this kind of an institution. Nobody in their right mind wants to join up. So Kenneth Copeland, James Robison, John Arnott, the whole bunch of you, God's going to write Ichabod, and the glory is going to depart if the glory was ever there at all. And please run for your life from these people, because no thank you. I don't want to join up with this, with these people. I don't care how nice they look and how sweet they talk and all that. No, I don't want to join up, and nobody else should want to join up. And if anybody is trying to get you to join up, you need to run for your life, because they don't change their colors. They still have the Knights of Columbus. Notice they dress in military garb. They still have the Knights of Malta. They still have the Jesuits. Why do you think they have these paramilitary organizations? The Pope has his own army, the Swiss Army Guard, that guards his little state there. They have their own state. They have their own bank. So this is not just a nice little church. This is a government. This is an institution. They have an army. I don't know, does the church down the block from you, like where you go to church, does your pastor have an army? No. I don't think so. So, but I'm going to give you a few scriptures on unity. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So Jesus talked about unity, but it's not the unity that they're talking about. We don't unify with false religious systems. And also, Tony Palmer, in one of his famous videos, he said that division was diabolical. Well, Jesus said in Luke 12:51, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you, nay, but rather division. Now, Jesus said himself that he came to bring division. So if he said it, then how is division diabolical? I don't think so. That's another famous quote from Mr. Palmer. So we don't believe it. We need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and not buy into this whole false unity movement, because eventually, even we have now in the church, we have this thing called Chrislam, where they try to tell you that, well, we have a lot in common with Islam. No, we don't have anything in common with Islam. I don't know of too many religions where people actually will kill themselves, will go and try to kill other people and kill themselves so they can get a place in heaven. What do we have in common with that? And that's a little strange. So we have a war going on now over in Israel, and with these people that, you know, they're serious about what they believe, the group there, Hamas, strange group of people that don't mind killing themselves and killing other people for their God. Well, that sounds like the devil to me. Anyway, Mr. Tony Palmer, for people that don't know him, he worked for Kenneth Copeland about 20 years ago. There's a good book that I like, and I know some people have tried to discredit Alberto, but I believe his testimony, Alberto Rivera, who wrote a book, and he claimed that he was a Jesuit. You can get that Alberto book from Jack Chick, C-H-I-C-K, the Chick website, who has produced many wonderful tracks and books, has been around for a long time. I've been a big fan of his for many years, but his testimony is there. He talks about, I just reread the Alberto, it looks like a comic book, but it's not really a comic book. I just reread it, and everything this man said has come to pass. He claims that the Jesuits infiltrated the Pentecostal movement. So we can see that. Didn't that just happen a few weeks ago where this Jesuit Pope invites Copeland and this bunch over there, and they use this man, Tony Palmer, to put it together? So it's an interesting read. I believe him. He's dead now. But he claims that he was a Catholic priest, he was a Jesuit, and he was involved in the movement to infiltrate the Pentecostal movement and to cause division and to break it up and to bring people back to the harlot mother church, the Roman Catholic institution. So in 2003, Mr. Palmer was summoned to Rome. Now, why would they summon him to Rome? They have to know who he is and what he's all about for the Pope to actually summon him to Rome. In 2003, he's summoned to Rome, and he served under three popes. He served under three popes. So he's been well-trained in the art of – he was well-trained in the art of deception, and the devil was using him for sure. So, hi – is this Penny?
Yes, it is.
Hi, I'm bringing on Penny DeWitt. Last minute, I know I asked her just the last minute to come on with me because she had written an article about Tony Palmer. And Penny herself was a former psychic, deeply involved in the occult. So I wanted to get her perspective because I noticed on Tony Palmer's website, The Ark, and if people want to go there is an announcement up there about the funeral, and also it's kind of a very strange website to me. Yeah, especially with the symbolism. And I wanted to ask you, Penny, now your thoughts on the death of Tony Palmer. Also, I'm going to try to say this word, the
Triquetra.
Okay, Triquetra. Now, that symbol is on his website, and why do you think that he put that symbol there?
Well, first of all, this is a symbol that has been adopted by the Catholic Church as, you know, as they have done with many pagan symbols and practices and teachings. So, you know, I mean, this is just a common symbol in the Catholic Church, and a lot of people believe that it represents the Trinity. And indeed, it did represent a Trinity once upon a time, and it has represented a number of things in different sects of paganism. one of the things that it has represented is the Volknet, which is a heart of stone that belonged to one of the gods in their mythology, Hrungnir. And this particular symbol supposedly had the power to bind and unbind people's minds.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah, yeah, particularly in battle. You know, whenever they were in battle, this was used to render them helpless.
Mm-hmm.
Also in some sects of paganism, it represents the three-faced goddess, the Morrigan. And it's the three faces of the goddess are the maiden, mother, and crone. And also, very interestingly, this is a symbol that's found on cremation urns in certain north areas. And this Morrigan also has been known to manifest as a crow. And I don't know if you're familiar with the what happened recently when the Pope released the dove, or doves. I think it was more than one dove.
Yeah.
I don't recall. But there was a crow that attacked this dove, which I just thought was so ironic, considering the symbolism that has been adopted. And this whole thing is very interesting to me. First of all, I don't know if you're aware, but my name actually used to be Avalon.
Oh, no.
It's my given name was Penny, and it's kind of a long story. It has to do with a dream that I had about a boat and this book called The Mists of Avalon, which I was urged by the pagans to read because of this dream that I had had, and they believed that I was somebody who would be participating in this this goal of Avalon. And the goal of Avalon in the story was, or the goal of Mists of Avalon in the story, is to create a bridge between the Christian world and the pagan world. That was the goal. And I believed that was my purpose. And I just think it's interesting, you know, the whole Avalonian mythology is associated with the Ark of the Covenant, and he calls, Tony Palmer calls his website the Order of the Ark.
Wow. Now that's interesting how you've tied that all together.
Well, I don't know if it's related. These are just thoughts that, you know, came to mind when I was looking at his website. Just because
the
I have
community,
all of this.
Excuse me, thearkcommunity.org is the website we're talking about. Thearkcommunity.org, and it is the website of Tony Palmer. You can see the Celtic cross that he has there, and also this symbol that we're discussing. Please pronounce it for me.
The triquetra.
Okay, so if you want to go and look at that, you'll see the symbolism we're talking about. But as she's explaining it, and you can see the seductive nature of this, and I believe, you know, I don't know this for a fact, but to me, when I looked at this man, to me, he looked like he was in the occult. The way he dressed, the way he appeared, the jewelry, and the things that came out of his mouth, to me, I believe that he was working with the occult, which the Catholic Church is involved in the occult. They worship the dead. They wear dead people's bones on their bodies. You can ask Catholics if they wear a scapula, and a scapula can have a piece of someone's, a dead person's bone or their blood or something. You can see them worshiping blood. They'll go and kiss artifacts. They were taking the blood of the dead Pope John around, and people were kissing it. You know, weird. So
yeah.
Anyway, go on.
Yeah. Well, the Ark of the Covenant is a central part of the story in the Mists of Avalon, and it's also a vital area of study or level of study for the Mystic Order of Noble Knowledge, which is a pagan order, and it's also associated with Catholicism as well. Now, I should mention that years and years ago, I lived with a heathen woman. She referred to her religion as heathenry. She followed the Germanic and Norse path. And I was her student, and I lived with her and cared for her animals and her house and her gardens in exchange for room and board and food and lessons.
Yeah.
And every week she had a meeting of her heathen group. They would come to her house, and they had the rituals and everything. And one week, this woman took me to a ritual, and, you know, I was always attending rituals in different places, but I was attending with this woman in the back room of one of the New Age bookstores. And this woman came in partway through the beginning of our meeting through the back door and, you know, took a seat. And when she introduced herself, she explained that she was a student and that in college, and she was studying world religions, and she had learned through her studies and her research that when the Catholic Church first moved into the northern regions, they saw the pagan women in the woods practicing their rituals, and they invited the women into the church to teach them their secrets. And so the Catholic Church learned these secrets, and they adopted a lot of these things in order to draw in the masses around them, the pagan population around them.
Yeah.
Just like the emergent church today is using pagan things within popular culture to draw in the masses.
Yeah.
So it's the exact same thing that they've always done, basically. It's really no different.
Yeah.
So that's
it's interesting that you bring that in, because when I was doing some research for this program today, I saw that also, that the emergent church, Brian McLaren and that group, were also using these Celtic symbols to draw people in.
Yeah. And so, and, you know, just like a lot of things in the Catholic Church, things that were originally pagan have been given Christian names. You know, this is the Triquetra. It's associated with the Volknut and the three-faced goddess, and they've turned it into the Trinity. You know, and we're really not supposed to do that. God got really angry at the Israelites and even allowed them to be taken into captivity for doing things like that. We were to take the pagan items and destroy them, not adopt them and give them godly names. You know?
Yes, yes, thank you. There's also a Bible that has that symbol on it.
Yes, I've seen that.
Yeah, interestingly enough. So if your Bible has that symbol on it, throw it out. Because you're right, we shouldn't be adopting pagan symbols and using it on our books and you know, hanging them in our house or whatever. So that should tell you something. When you see this symbol, and like I said, you could go to Tony Palmer's website and look at it, but also if you wanted to do a internet search, you could also. I'm going to look it up again and spell it for you before we go off the air. So it's a little hard to pronounce and a little hard to spell, but anyway, I wanted to say to my guest to thank you very much for coming on last minute, because I really liked your article that you put up, and I thought, you know, even if you could call in for a few minutes and give us some of your insight into this whole thing. But also, when I was doing the research this morning, I found that he was also using the rune alphabet. Could you explain a little bit about what this man, Tony Palmer, was also using this rune alphabet? What is the rune alphabet?
It's a Northern Germanic and Scandinavian alphabet. It's also used as a divination system. The symbols are carved on little stones, and you keep those stones in a little bag. And, you know, the way I was taught was you put your hand in the bag and sort of rummage around, and one of them will sort of stick to your fingers like a magnet. You pull that one out and you give a reading based on the meaning of that one. So that's what the runes are.
Yeah, because, and I want to have Penny come back, because I noticed that I had been doing a little research on Michael W. Smith and some other so-called Christian groups, music groups, that also use this rune alphabet on their album covers, which I don't understand why anybody wants to use this rune alphabet that's a Christian on their album cover.
It's mind-boggling to me, because when I attended one particular pagan festival, one of the big ones, you know, a five-day festival in the mountains that's hidden away, you know, with like hundreds and hundreds of people from all around the country, they put up signs that were written with the rune alphabet so that only pagans could read the signs.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to forward you some of this information that I had. So
okay.
I would like to have you come back and do a program on that, because I thought, look, there's no accident that they're using this alphabet. There's a message there, and you're saying the same thing, that there's a message there.
Yeah.
So,
and in this age of information, there's no excuse for them not knowing this. Surely, you know, they type a symbol or a word, and you're going to see these things in a search string, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
so,
I know it was brought to Michael W. Smith's attention, but they never did anything about it. They just kept using these rune alphabet on his album covers, and then
right. And the reason is to draw in the masses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And the uneducated, uninformed masses, because they also do these rock shows. He has a youth, some kind of a youth building near Nashville where the young people can come. And they have these ungodly rock musicians with the most vile lyrics. So I'm wondering what's going on with this guy. But, of course, that's for another time. We're going to do that program. But I don't think this whole thing with Tony Palmer, it's so interesting how this it came about, and then all of a sudden this man is just taken out. Very strange accident, very strange death. And, you know, they say the police are investigating, because it was very, very strange. He's hit head on by an oncoming car. So it sounds like it could be more than just an accident. It was in the morning, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning. The sun was out. It wasn't dark, and so it's very, very strange. But I the devil was using this man, and it's interesting on this website, harvestingthefruit.com. There's someone that writes, pray that he repented of his sins before he perished and repudiated Rome and her false gospel. Heartened because a man who was peddling theological and spiritual poison is no longer a direct threat to the Christian church. Tony's legacy is that he sought to enslave us children of the Reformation by joining us to the damnable heresies of Rome. With Copeland, the man whose spiritual misdeeds and heresies are legendary in their scope and in their depravity. And he tried to get us to stop protesting and lay down our bloody insistence that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ's work alone, confirmed by Scripture alone, to the glory of God alone. He wanted to marry us to a decrepit, whorish, Romanist bride who wears the six sessions of the Council of Trent on her tattered dress with pride and defiance. Excellent comment there on this website. But harvesting the fruit. Now, I think this is a Catholic blog, but this man just happened to make a comment. Yeah. So because the other comments were quite interesting. There's actually a picture of Tony on his motorcycle. It wasn't on the day, but it is a there is a picture of him on there with on his motorcycle in South Africa, but showing that he liked motorcycles. And so anyway, it's interesting because truly the days are evil. We see how the occult has infiltrated the so-called Christian church and come in to deceive and to send their people in to manipulate people and to draw people away from the truth of the Word of God. But how easily people can be deceived.
Yeah.
I mean, did you find that when you were going into churches that some people were easy to deceive?
Most people are, actually. All you really have to do is make it all about them. And really, that's when you get down to the nitty-gritty with the occult. It's very much all about you, you know. Self, I always say self is the most popular idol today. And you know, when you tell people that, you know, this is not a coincidence, this is happening because you have a purpose and, you know, that sort of thing, you have their attention.
Yeah. That's an interesting fact that you brought out, is that they, when occultists and deceivers are entering into the church, and we see so many of them on what they call Christian television, but it's far from it, they make it about you, and even in
their
fundraising and everything. It's all about you and you getting what you want.
Yeah.
And you know, Penny being a former psychic and in the occult, and she's telling you that that is what they use to get you messed up, is to make it all about you.
To deceive people and to recruit them into the occult.
Yeah. Well, we can see that. You know, they've been very effective because there isn't one channel on Christian television that is Christian anymore. There's very few real Christians on so-called Christian television. They've made it all about fundraising, and these people are getting filthy rich and laughing. Mm-hmm. at the church at large, that they've been able to be so effective in their deception. So, and the same thing with this man, Tony Palmer, the publicity that he got, and many of the Christian
tremendous.
Magazines. Yeah, tremendous publicity.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens, who the devil uses in his place, what's going to happen here. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's also interesting, you know, how the Catholic Church loves its martyrs.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, if there was any kind of foul play, it might be something along those lines. I don't know. I'm just speculating. That's just speculation.
Yeah, it's speculation. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it'll be
so
interesting.
Really,
you see, you're
know,
exactly
but
right.
I do know that unity is the clarion call of the occultists. It is the clarion call of the theosophists who are behind basically the New Age movement that we see today. Yeah. It's all about unity. That's how they're going to draw people in, is by being all-encompassing.
Yes, right. Because even when the wolf Francis Jorge Bergoglio, or however you pronounce his last name, he's drawing you in with that sweet look on his face and saying, come on, let's give a spiritual hug. And after all, it's all about love. Well, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Wolves bite.
No.
The bite hurts. But anyway,
there is a counterfeit love.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And if you get that funny, you get that ooey-gooey funny feeling around somebody, then, you know, the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, well, then it's not love. You better run for your life. But there's a brother on the chat, and he's asking for your website, but I'd like you to give that out, too, before we close today.
It's just a blog. Just Penny Renewed is the name of the blog.
Okay, P-E-N-N-I-E, Penny Renewed.
Yeah.
Okay, Charles. So you can go to her blog. She's got some interesting information from one who knows, one who's been there, and you also did an article about Tony Palmer, which was very, very interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to thank you, Penny, so much for coming on with me today.
You're welcome.
Last
Thanks for
minute.
Having me on.
And, I love to have you on. I love to get your insight because you're someone that's traveled in circles many of us have never traveled in. And it's good for us to know what's out there so we can
Thanks.
Be aware.
Glad
but,
to help.
Yeah. Thank you. God bless you. We'll be talking soon, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in today and being a part of this program. So if you have any questions or you need to know anything else, you can email me at susan@propheticnews.com. That's my email address. If you have any show ideas or you have a guest you want me to know about, I appreciate hearing from you, get your feedback. And we're celebrating 5 years being on the air. I can't believe it went by so fast. And, you know, God has truly blessed us. We have a great audience. There's many people out there that are interested in truth, and I thank God for that. So don't forget, the most important thing is to repent of your sins today and to ask Jesus Christ into your life. Ask him to come into your life and to change your life and to forgive you of your sins. Jesus said you must be born again. First, you're born of your mother. Then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So you must confess your sins and ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life today. He will forgive your sins and give you a brand new life, a life full of joy and peace. You can't buy it. You can't get it anywhere else, except from Jesus, the one who really loves you. And he really does love you. He laid down his life for you. So you can have salvation, and you can have the knowledge of knowing that you, when you die, you can go to heaven. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior we serve. God bless you today. See you again next week. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord. your God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.